Well, you're listening to Quad Rocks, God, the World, and Other Things. I'm Kenny Price, your host. Our mission, you've got it, advancing equilibrium in the midst of an agitated world. Hey, thank you so much for listening. This is Season 19, Episode 407. Title, Lead Us Not Into Temptation. Subtitle, Temptation Series, Episode Number 2. It is the significant responsibility of all believers to earnestly follow the path prescribed by Christ to avoid falling into temptation. The Bible tells you the good news that God is able to deliver the godly out of temptations, and that He is faithful not to allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, but will provide a way of escape. Yet it is your crucial duty and interest to diligently, vigilantly, and cautiously avoid falling into temptation. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says you should pray for the avoidance of temptation. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, Christ communicated the importance of not entering into temptation when He included this as a specific aspect of your daily communion with God. The sequence of words indicates its significance. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you are led into temptation, you will suffer evil to some extent. In this instruction, it is not merely about not being abandoned to temptation, but about being powerfully guarded from it. The latter part of the prayer informs the former, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. An expansion of the intention would look something like this, Our Father, handle us in such a way that we may be effectively rescued from the evil that accompanies our falling into temptation. My friend, Jesus is aware of your condition. He knows the strength of temptations, having experienced it Himself. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 says, For since He Himself has suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are tempted. He understands our false confidence and our overestimation of our ability to withstand temptations, as seen in the Apostle Peter. Yet He also knows your frailty and foolishness, and how quickly you are overthrown. Therefore, He provides this instruction at the outset of His ministry to make you attentive to what is of paramount importance to you. Christ promises this freedom and deliverance as a significant reward for highly valued obedience. This is the great promise made to the Church of Philadelphia, in which Christ found nothing to rebuke. He says, You will be kept from the hour of temptation. Not you will be preserved in it, but rather you will be kept from it. There is, says our Savior, an hour of temptation coming, a time that will wreak havoc in the world. Many will then fall from the faith, deny and blaspheme Him. Very few will be able to stand firm. Some will be destroyed and perish forever. Some will suffer wounds to their souls that will never fully heal in this world and will carry their scars limping through life. But, He says, because you have kept My word, I will be merciful to you and keep you from this hour of temptation. This promise of Christ as a reward for your devotion, love, and obedience is not trivial, my friend. It is a manifestation of His immeasurable love. Exceptional obedience does matter. Falling into temptation, and really a more accurate way to say it is being ensnared by temptation, has a vast number of outcomes, none of which are good. That is one of the greatest treacheries of the act. You can never know the full impact of the fall at the outset. In Jesus' parable known as the sower, or the parable of the soils found in Luke chapter 8, Jesus says in verse 13 that the seed that fell on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, having no root, these believe for a while and fall away in a time of testing. They initially embrace the word with joy, make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and bear some fruit, but when temptation arrives, they fall away. This scenario is as common as today's social media headlines. Individuals who have attended gospel preaching, been moved by it, professed faith, and perhaps been regarded as believers suddenly falter when faced with vigorous and persistent temptation. They begin to despise the word they once respected, disdain its followers, and become callous through sin. In a like fashion, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 26 and 27, falling into sin is compared to building a house on sand. Despite providing temporary shelter and warmth, when the rain falls, symbolizing temptation, it collapses utterly with a great fall. Judas followed Jesus for 3 years until he succumbed to temptation. The Apostle Paul gives the sad report on Demas. The Apostle Paul's writings that mention Demas are found in three of his letters, Philemon, Colossians, and 2 Timothy. The first letter written was Philemon, believed to be one of the earliest of Paul's writings, written around AD 60 to 62 during his first Roman imprisonment. Chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, in his final greetings, he writes, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. At this time, there's no indication of any issues with him mentioned in this letter. The second letter written was Colossians, which was also written during Paul's first Roman imprisonment, likely around the same time as Philemon. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, he writes, Luke, the dearly beloved physician, and Demas send you greetings. Demas again is mentioned as being with Paul, indicating that he was still a part of Paul's ministry at this point. The third letter that mentions Demas is 2 Timothy, which was written during Paul's second Roman imprisonment shortly before his death, around 67 to 68 AD. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writes, For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. This indicates that Demas had left Paul, likely due to his love for worldly things. These examples, along with many others found in the Bible, give you a strong warning of the danger an individual faces who succumbs to the ensnarement of temptation. No one imagines that at the entrance to temptation, that the final landing place may be partial or complete apostasy, but it can be inevitable if you are careless. You may try and discount the conclusion of wayward people's lives and say that the falling away or outright full-bore apostasy was always in them, like Judas, whom Jesus called a devil in John chapter 6, verse 70, but Adam, created in God's image, with greater inherent ability than us, let's remember he was in direct fellowship with God in the garden, yet he succumbed to temptation, resulting in his ruin and that of his descendants. If Adam, facing only a clever devil, faltered, what can you expect, dealing with a corrupted world and heart? Or Abraham, the father of faith, twice succumbed to the temptation of fear regarding his wife, leading to dishonor to God. King David, described as a man after God's own heart, fell into adultery and subsequent sin. Many others like Noah, Lot, Hezekiah, and Peter faced temptation and fell into sin. If such pillars faltered, what hope do we have? Shouldn't we, like them, exercise caution and strive to avoid temptation? It's madness to walk into a situation where giants have fallen. My friend, we must heed these examples and avoid temptation, lest we too stumble. May it be your sincere prayer today, Heavenly Father, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And with that, my friend, I bid you peace.